Beirawei Lel Shishi, Thursday the 19th of September, Parashat Shmos, Rabbi Moshe Levi Chazak.
Good evening. Shus Harav, David Tungatov Shlita, Kal Kadosh. Growing up, I was always a big sports fan. And I noticed when a team wouldn't do well, they would fire the coach, fire the manager. And when they hired a new manager, they would have a press conference and they would always ask the manager, what are you going to do to improve the team? And invariably, whatever the sport was, basketball, baseball, football, they would always say, we're going to get back to basics. We're going to simplify it. We're going to get back to basics. We're going to be able to put a winning team on the field. And I thought to myself, the old coach, what happened? He realized they're not doing well. The winning formula is basics. Whatever you're doing, stop that and get back to basics. Not only that, quite often when the coach, when the manager that got fired, there'd be five other teams that want to sign him, that want to hire him to be their manager. And I thought to myself, he just got fired. He's obviously not very good. What's going on over here? Is that the way it works in England as well? Other teams want to hire. He just got fired. And I found the answer in the Hagdama to the Mesilas Yesharim. Doesn't ask it exactly like that. But he says, everything I'm about to tell you, you already know. But Mishum Rav Pirsumah, because it's so famous, you tend to ignore it. He says, reading this book once won't help you. It's constant, constant, hearing it over and over. It's basic, it's fundamental. You already know it. I don't know if we already know it. And that's the answer. The old coach wasn't a bad coach. But the team got tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over. So they bring in a new coach. He says the same thing in a different way. Suddenly the team starts to do well. You can't fire a whole team. You fire a coach. And the old coach goes to a new team and he does amazing. Because different people need to hear different things. Could be the same things in a different way. I don't know if we're going to see any chidushim here tonight. But it's important to hear the same thing in a different way. Matasiyahu Solomon, in his book, took his shmuzin that he gave over in Lakewood, Hearts Full of Faith. He has one of the chapters, I believe it's called Darkness Before Dawn. And he says, we see in Klai Yisrael so much sorrow. So much pain. We don't know if we've ever saw so much. We've always had anti-Semitism, but nowadays we have so many divorces, so much shalom bias issues, so many kids at risk. I'm not talking about not from. In our circles, so many problems financially, so many people who can't find shidduchim. And he writes, why is this happening? What are we doing wrong in our generation? What's happening in Klai Yisrael that Hashem is making this happen? And what can we do to fix it? Everyone in this room, everyone listening, can think of many people they know that are trying to have children, that are trying to find the shidduch, that are struggling financially. What can we do? And why is it happening? And he brings from this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem comes to him and tells him, I want you to lead out. You have to lead the Bnei Yisrael. Rashi says it takes him a week to convince him. I don't know about you. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But if Hashem's coming to me and saying, do this, I'm listening right away. A week. After a week, what happens? He says, look, I'm willing to do it, but there's a problem. My brother Aaron, he might be insulted. If I hear this, I'm going to say, are you crazy? There's millions of people suffering. There's people that are dying every day. They're using babies as bricks. You're worried about your brother's feelings? Get on with it. Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem says, you're right. But don't worry. Aaron's a tzaddik, v'ra'av v'samach b'libo. Aaron will see, he'll be happy for you. Sounds like if it wouldn't happen like that, if Aaron would have been insulted, then Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have been the leader. Because even when things have to get done, there's a right and a wrong way to do them. And then he says, okay, but I have to go ask permission from my father-in-law, Derech Eretz. He invited me in. Says Rashi, Lito Rishus, I have to ask permission. And again, Hashem says, okay, go ahead. Moshe Rabbeinu goes. He shows up. He convinces the Zakenim. He convinces the people. He's the Redeemer. He goes to Paro. Paro says, no. From now on, you're going to have to get your own straw. He sends out a message. The Jewish people are going to suffer much more. And for a whole year, Moshe Rabbeinu disappears. And then after a year, Moshe Rabbeinu comes back. And then he starts doing the makos, he starts doing the plagues. And then the real gula starts. Ask Rabbi Solomon, why is this happening? Why doesn't Hashem just make it? Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, the time has come, and let's go. Why make it that he shows up? They suffer so much more, they have to go get their own straw. By the way, why does Paro do that? Why does Paro insist they go get their own straw? Say, from now on, instead of one building a day, I want each guy to give me two buildings a day. You make them go get their own straw. How does that help? What was Paro thinking? What was Paro really all about? If I shouldn't tell you the story, you'll think I'm a bit evil. Maybe I am. A few years ago, my brother-in-law, he was 12 years old. He was annoying my son. He kept on making him cry. And I said to him, if you don't stop, I'm going to get you. And he keeps on, I'm like, one more chance. And he kept on bothering. I'm like, that's it, you're done. He's like, don't beat me up. I said, no, chas v'shalom. So what are you going to do to me? Now he hates avocado. I don't know why. Hates avocado. So I said to him, at some point this week, avocado. So what do you mean? I said, you're going to be eating your cereal, and at the bottom of the bowl, avocado. You'll stick your hand into your glove, and you'll pull it out, avocado. You go to sleep, you put your head on your pillow, avocado. He said, no, just beat me up. I said, no, avocado. And the whole time during the week, I'm like, oh, you're going to sleep, you're going to brush your teeth, have a good night. What'd you do? Ah, I'm not brushing my teeth, I'm getting a new toothbrush. Got to do anything. Next day, oh, you're going to play ball, have a good time. Oh, no, what'd you do? I'm not. After 4 or 5 days, it was going crazy. My phone was like, what'd you do to him? I said, I didn't do anything. Because it's much worse to mess with someone's head than it is to actually do something to them. Paro says, it's not about productivity. It's not that I want two buildings. If Paro would have said, from now on, instead of working from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you're going to work from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. But at least from 12 p.m. to 6 a.m., they're going to go to sleep. Over here, they're constantly thinking, where can I get straw? At 2 a.m., at 4 a.m., at 6 a.m., at 6 at night, they're constantly, he's messing with their heads. Paro wants to make them suffer. And again, the question is why? Why make them suffer? Why would Hashem do it like this? It says Ramat Hashem of Solomon, if you look at the end, after they're told that they have to get their own straw, it says, the taskmasters of the Egyptian come and they say, the same way, you have to give us the same quota like when you had the straw. And they were hit, the police officers of the Jewish people. Says Rashi, the police officers were Jews, and they felt bad for their friends. When they went to their Egyptian taskmasters, and there was something missing from the tally, from the quota, the Egyptians used to beat the Jewish policemen. That they weren't machmir, that they weren't specific about the people making their quota. We had the same thing in the Holocaust. There were Jewish capos. They were in charge of the barracks. I've been in the past few years to Poland 10 times, and the tour guide always says, the difference between life and death in Auschwitz was a good or a bad capo. You hear stories about women giving birth, and then unfortunately having to kill the baby. How could a woman 8-9 months pregnant survive? She had a good capo. They didn't make her work too hard, they hit her. It was the same thing in Mitzrayim. The Jewish policemen were told by the Egyptians who didn't fill their quota. And the Jewish policeman said, we can't help you. Tell us or we'll beat you. Go ahead. And the Jewish policeman got beaten day after day. Says Rashi, Leficha Zachu Oysan Ashoitwin Lio Sanhedrin. What happened to these Jewish policemen? They became the Sanhedrin. And they got some of the Ruach HaKodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu had, as we see in Parashat Ba'alei Yitzchak. Us for the Shivim Ish Mezikne Yisrael, they were the Zekanim. Moshe Kibbut Torah Mesinai Mesrali Yeshua, Shula Zekanim. The Jewish policemen got Ruach HaKodesh, because they took the heat. They got beaten. Says Matasyo, when Moshe Rabbeinu shows up the first time, he can't take them out. He can't redeem them. There's no zchus, there's no merit. But when Hashem sees that the Jewish police officers, they care about Klal Yisrael, they feel the pain, they understand what it means responsibility, Hashem says, now I can redeem them. Now I can save them. They understood what responsibility meant. We read a few weeks ago a story about Dina. Batitze Dina goes out, she gets raped. Shechem falls in love with her, and he tells Yaakov, he tells the Shvatim, I want to marry into your family. And they say, look, you have to have a bris milah. Somehow, must have been very convincing. Shechem convinces the whole city to have a bris milah. On the third day, when it's the most painful for adults, comes Shimon and Levi and they wipe out a whole city. And the question is, how can they justify killing all these people? You want to kill Shechem? Okay. He raped your sister. There was a terrible story, unfortunately, in Lakewood, New Jersey, a few years ago. A girl was going to exercise, regular from Beis Yaakov girl. And unfortunately, this Mexican guy, he grabbed her and he raped her. And they caught the guy, they put him in jail. And a few days later, the police told him, good news, somebody posted bail, $25,000. He's all excited, he's about to leave. He said, who posted the bail? And he found out it was the brothers of this girl. They wanted him to get out, they were going to kill him. He ran back into jail. Shimon and Levi, they want to kill Shechem. Okay. To wipe out a whole city? How can they justify such a thing? How can they go killing all these people? Says the Sephorno, something very scary. If the people of the city of Shechem knew what happened, they could have done something about it, and they didn't, they're just as responsible. They're just as guilty. Responsibility means if there's something I can do and I don't, just as guilty. So often in life, should I say something? Shouldn't I say something? Will it? Try! If you know you can't do anything, that's one story. So often. Just this past week, I was sitting with a few students. I said, how come tefillin? Never, you don't put on tefillin? Oh, Rabbi, I said 5 minutes earlier. 5 minutes. Just Shema. By the way, we dive in Shema and Shema Esrei, 5 minutes. Text me, I'll text you. And the guy started doing it. It was a minute, 2 minute conversation. So many of us know people that don't have Torah in their lives. So many of us know people good from Yidden that don't come to Shiurim. Say, hey, you want to learn? 15 minutes. I give a Shiur in Hatton Garden every Wednesday. I said to some people, how come you don't come? I don't leave my office. I said, I'll come to your office. I don't have time. 15 minutes. And we do it. Everybody here knows someone that works in the area. That works close to them. 10 minutes of Charusa. It'll be the only Torah they have of the week. You can do something. If you don't, you're just as responsible. It says Matasio. You know why Hashem does it like this? You know why Hashem makes it that Moshe Rabbeinu shows up in a whole nother year? Because he wants to see if the Jewish people are going to care about each other. Are they going to do something? And you might tell me, look, we can't save the world. How many Jewish policemen do you think there were already? There weren't millions, there probably weren't even thousands. 70, 100, 200? A few hundred people! That's what led to the Geula! The Chafetz Chaim spoke in the 1920s by a Agudah convention. And he got up and he spoke about doing for Klal Yisrael. And he got down, finished his speech. A few hours later he comes back. He says, I'd like to speak again. And he said, you know, you might be the Godel Adar, but everybody gets it. He says, give me just a few minutes. Chafetz Chaim asked for a few minutes. Yeah, I don't know if you can say no. He gets up to speak. Says, Rabbi Sai, I spoke about doing for Klal Yisrael. And I've heard a lot of murmurings. What can I do? Who am I? I don't know much. What am I supposed to do? How do I do it? What? He says, let me tell you a story. There was once a rich man. He moved into a small town. He goes to take a shower. Afterwards, he goes to get some water. He turns on his tap. And he fills up the cup, and he realizes at the bottom there's tons of sand floating around. He makes a meeting with the chashuvim of the city. And he sits down and he says to them, I don't understand what's going on over here. I open up my sink and I get sand. And they say, what are we supposed to do? We live near the ocean. That's the way it works. He says, you got to put in a filter. They say it's a lot of money. He says, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. All the water that comes into the city, it's got to be filtered. Kahava, they put in the filter. People are loving it. They don't have to go to the well. They can drink the water from the sink. They can take showers without sand. It's magnificent. A few months go by, and in the town, there's a massive fire. Burns down almost half the city. And again, the rich man makes a meeting with the chashuvim of the city. And he says to them, Rabbi Sai, where were the firemen? You got to have a system in place. And they said to him, this was all your fault. He said, my fault? What did I do? They said, we have firemen, we have a system in place. You know how long it took to filter all the water to put out the fire? And he said to them, are you crazy? When there's a fire, you don't worry about sand. You do it. You do whatever you gotta do, you just put out the fire. You don't say, oh, there's some sand in there. It's not crystal clear. Said the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisai, maybe 50 years ago, 100 years ago, to be a Rav, to be a Machanech, to be involved in the community and the shuls and the organizations, you had to be crystal clear at Tzaddik. You had to be amazing, you had to be 50, 60 years old, no kula tarakula. The Chafetz Chaim looked at them and he said, Rabbi Sai, there's a fire. Klal Yisrael is on fire! Maybe you're not perfect. Maybe you're full of sand. But you know what? When there's a fire, you don't worry about it. You do whatever you can do. Says the Matasio, why there's so many tragedies? Why is there so much divorce and shalom bias? And people who need shidduchim, and people who can't have kids, and people who need help financially, and mentally, and physically. The same reason there was by the first Geula. Hashem says, I want to see if the Jewish people are going to care about their brothers and sisters, if they're going to do something, especially when it's hard. And it doesn't have to be everybody, just the shaitrin. Are you going to feel the pain? Are you going to care? Are you going to be a Jewish person? It's a famous idea. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was in the little teva, 3 months go by, there's nothing they can do. They put him in the ocean. And his sister standing from far, Miriam, to see what's going to happen. But Terid Bas Paro and the daughter Paro comes down. Now we know the end of the story, but this is the worst possible. This is Hitler's daughter, Paro's daughter. It's done. He's for sure a goner. He's a dead. The worst possible person that can find and found him. And she opens it up. She sees the yeled. And behold, the lad is crying. She feels bad. And she says, this must be a Jewish kid. I believe it's the Baal HaTurim says, look closely at the words. She sees the yeled. And behold, the nar is crying. Why the change in Lashon? There's a massive chiddush. She sees the yeled. She sees little baby Moshe. And she hears a boy crying. Who's the boy? The boy is 3-year-old Aaron. He says, oh no. Now he's done. Now he's dead. Now he's gone. When she sees a little boy crying over the baby being caught, Vatoimer, Miyadeh Ivrim Zeh. Must be it's a Jewish kid. Because that's what Jewish people do. They cry. They care about each other. It's got to be a Jewish kid. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Im ein ani li, mi li." If I am not for myself, then who will be? And the simple explanation is, you got to take care of yourself. It says Rav Shimon Shkop, what is our definition of ani, of I? When someone's single, their I is all about them. Someone gets married, takes a few months, sometimes a few years. But their I becomes them and their wife. You have kids, the I. When you say, I need parnasa, I means me, my wife and my kids. You have the rav of a kehila, his I becomes him, his wife, his kids, and his kehila. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, Im ein ani li. If I don't worry about my ani, mi li. Who will? But kishani la'atzmi. If my ani is only me, is only atzmi, is only just me and nobody else. Not a wife, not a kid, not Klal Yisrael. Kshani la'atzmi, ma'ani, what am I? I'm a nothing. Ma'ani. What do I have? I'm self-centered, egotistical, I worry about myself. Says Rav Shimon Shkop. We have to expand our ani. Our ani has to include not just us and our wife and our kids and our extended Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. People should say, Miyadeh Ivrim, this is a Jewish person. He cares about his brothers, he cares about his sisters. It says in Matasyo, if you want to bring the Geula, we have to do the same thing they did the first time. We have to feel the pain of our brothers and sisters. Hashem makes it that there's all these problems because He's waiting for us to step up. For us to be the Shaitrin. For us to show that we care. Every one of us can do so much. You can go home. You can say, oh, that was a nice class, hopefully. Or you could go home and decide, I'm going to do something. So often, we come to a class, I've noticed, most people, they're 20, good guy, daven's 3 times a day, goes to a shiur once or twice a week, maybe every day, 30, same guy, 40, same guy, 70, same guy, great guy, don't get me wrong. There's got to be growth. There's got to be new things we do. Can't just be, you come to a shiur, you go home, I was entertained, it was nice, this is the vart, that's the vart. It's important as well. But if you don't do something, what have you gained? Mirza Hashem will learn from this week's parasha. There's a lot of other places. The reason Hashem picks Moshe Rabbeinu is because he sees that he's Sar Lerois. He turns to look, he sees his brothers in pain. He can stay in the palace, he can say, it's not my problem, but he gets involved. Hashem says, that's why I want to lead my people. Rabbeisai, we have to expand our ani. If you want to bring the galus, if you want to take care of all the problems, Klal Yisrael is on fire. There's a fire! Let's do something. Let's put it out. Let's get involved any which way. Decide right now what you're doing. Most people have a couple weeks off. Of course you spend it with family. You got plenty of free time. You learn. You spend it with family. And Metz Hashem, you do for Klal Yisrael. And that's the chus, the same way that led to the original Geula. Metz Hashem, when we show Klal Hashem that we care about Klal Yisrael, that we're going to be the shaitrim. Metz Hashem, and that's the chus. We zoichet to the final Geula. Moshiach Tzakeinu. Amen.